Here is a scenario for you. It's a Saturday morning, beautiful day. You've promised your family a flight they've been asking about for weeks. You pull out your certificate, your medical, the keys. The airplane is airworthy. You're legal on paper. But here's the question I want you to sit with. Are you actually legal to carry those passengers? I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar, and today we're getting into one of those regulations that every student pilot learns for the knowledge test, and a surprising number of certificated pilots quietly misremember once the check ride is behind them. Federal Aviation Regulation 6157 Recent Flight Experience, Currency. The rule that decides whether those passengers can legally sit in your airplane. Before we dive in, a quick word from our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the aviation journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, commercial certificate. If you're working toward one of those milestones or you already passed one and want something to mark it, check them out. AviationSoul.com. All right. Federal Aviation Regulation 6157 lives in Part 61 of the Federal Aviation Regulations, right alongside the pilot certification rules. And it covers three separate categories of currency: daytime passenger carrying, nighttime passenger carrying, and instrument flight rules currency. Each one has its own clock. They don't reset together. You can be current in one and lapsed in another at the same time. Let's walk through them. The requirement most pilots know or think they know is the basic passenger carrying rule. To carry passengers, you need 3 takeoffs and 3 landings in the preceding 90 days. In the same category, class and type of aircraft. Full stop if we're talking about a tailwheel airplane. But here's where pilots trip themselves up. The regulation says preceding 90 days. Not the last 3 months, 90 days. Count them. If your last 3 landings were on a Tuesday in June and you want to fly passengers on a Saturday in September, you need to know whether that Tuesday was 90 days ago or 89 days ago. Pull out your calendar. Count the actual days. I cannot tell you how many pilots approximate this. Round up to 3 months and get it wrong. Those 3 landings also need to be in the same category and class. If you fly a Cessna 172 most of the time, but you logged your 3 landings last month in a Piper Cherokee, are you current? Yes, technically both are category airplane. Class single engine land, same box. But if you log those 3 landings in a glider, that does not make you current to carry passengers in a powered airplane. Different categories entirely. Type ratings add another layer. If you're flying something that requires a type rating, you need those 3 landings in that specific type. Not just any aircraft in the same category. Now let's talk about night currency. Because this is where pilots get genuinely confused. To carry passengers at night, you need 3 takeoffs and 3 full stop landings at night during the preceding 90 days, in the same category, class and type. And the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, defines night for currency purposes as the period from 1 hour after sunset to 1 hour before sunrise. That is the legal definition for this purpose. Note that 1 hour after sunset, not sunset itself. A lot of pilots conflate the night currency window with the lighting requirement window or with the logbook definition of night flight. They are not all the same number. For currency under 6157, it's 1 hour after sunset. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Your daytime currency and your nighttime currency are completely separate counters running simultaneously. You can be perfectly current to carry passengers during the day and not current to carry them at night. So imagine you flew 3-day landings last week. Great, you are day current. But the last time you did 3 night landings was 4 months ago. Tonight you can legally fly by yourself at night. You can fly as the sole occupant, but you cannot take a passenger, even if you feel perfectly comfortable, even if the flight is short and the weather is clear. The regulation does not care about your confidence level, it cares about 3 full stop landings at night in the last 90 days. There is no grace period on this, there is no one you call. You're either current or you're not. Let me spend a moment on tailwheel currency specifically, because it affects a lot of our listeners who fly classics, Cubs, Cedebrias, Decathlons, anything with the wheel in the back. The regulation requires 3 full stop landings in a tailwheel airplane to carry passengers in a tailwheel airplane. Touch and goes do not count. Full stops only. The reasoning is obvious if you've ever landed a tailwheel airplane. The rollout, the ground speed management during that rollout, that is where tailwheel accidents happen. Touch and go landings skip that phase of the maneuver. So the regulation demands you demonstrate the complete thing. If you're flying a Cub and you do 2 full stop landings and 1 touch and go, you have not met the requirement. You need 3 full stops. Count them. This also means your tailwheel currency and your general passenger carrying currency are intertwined, but not identical. You need to satisfy both. 3 full stop landings in a Cub in the last 90 days handles both requirements for that airplane. But if your 3 landings this quarter were in a Cessna 172, you're current in the 172 but not in the Cub, even if you've been flying tailwheel airplanes for 10 years. Currency is not competency. The regulation measures recent practice, not overall skill. Now let's shift to instrument currency, which runs on a different clock entirely. If you want to file instrument flight rules or IFR and fly in instrument meteorological conditions or IMC, you need to have logged within the preceding 6 months at least 6 instrument approaches, holding procedures, and the interception and tracking of courses using navigation systems. 6 months, not 90 days. A different clock from the passenger carrying rule. What counts as a qualifying approach? A real approach flown in actual IMC counts. An approach flown in visual meteorological conditions or VMC under a foggles or view limiting device with a safety pilot on board also counts. An approach logged in an FAA approved aviation training device counts. What does not count is shooting a visual flight rules or VFR, approach in good weather without any instrument conditions simulated. You can fly as many of those as you want, none of them refresh your instrument currency. The safety pilot situation is worth a quick stop here. When you're under the hood flying simulated instrument flight rules, your safety pilot is acting as a required crew member. That means they need to hold at least a private pilot certificate. They need to be current to act as pilot in command in that aircraft. They need to be appropriately rated, and whoever is logging as pilot in command needs to be logged correctly and intentionally. The safety pilot can log pilot in command time as long as they're acting in that role. You can log the instrument approaches, but your logbook needs to tell that story clearly. Date, aircraft, type of approaches, whether the conditions were actual or simulated, the instrument currency requirement is only as good as the logbook entry that supports it. So what happens when instrument currency lapses? You have an additional 6 months, a grace window. Within 12 months of your last qualifying instrument experience, you can complete an instrument proficiency check, or IPC, with a flight instructor who holds an instrument rating. Complete that check, and your currency is restored. But here's what you cannot do in that gap between 6 months and 12 months after your last currency period. You are not current. You cannot legally act as pilot in command on an IFR flight plan. You cannot fly an actual IMC. You can still fly VFR. You can practice approaches under the hood with a safety pilot to sharpen up before your IPC. But the IFR system is closed to you until you pass that check. After 12 months without currency, an IPC is your only path back. There is no self-study option, no online course, a qualified instructor in an airplane or an approved simulator and a formal proficiency check. Here's a practical scenario that plays out more often than it should. You're an instrument-rated private pilot. You flew a couple of approaches in February. Life gets busy. You fly VFR through the summer. Never file IFR, never pull out the foggles. September arrives, and you've got a cross-country trip with marginal weather in the forecast. You start thinking about your instrument currency. Count 6 months from February. That puts your currency expiration in August. You are now in September, inside the 12-month window. You can still get an IPC and restore currency, but you cannot legally file IFR today on your own authority. You need an instructor with you to conduct that check first. This catches instrument-rated pilots all the time, especially those who fly mostly VFR and only pull out their instrument privileges a few times a year. The calendar moves fast when you're not watching it. One thing a lot of pilots don't realize is that FAA-approved aviation training devices can count toward instrument currency. Depending on the certification level of the device, you can log instrument approaches in them. A basic level training device can give you up to 2.5 hours per 6-month period. Higher level devices offer more. You're not going to satisfy your entire currency requirement sitting at a desktop simulator, depending on what level of device you have access to. But it's a valuable option on days when weather or scheduling keeps you out of the airplane. The device has to be specifically FAA approved for this purpose. Ask the school before you assume. Now let me tie this back to something bigger because I think the numbers are only half the lesson. Here's something I want every pilot to understand. The currency requirements under 6157 are not bureaucratic red tape. They're a proxy for something real. Skills degrade without practice. The requirements are the FAA's attempt to ensure that when you take a passenger up, or when you enter actual IMC, you've done those specific tasks recently enough, that your muscle memory and your judgment are reasonably current. A pilot who flew 3 landings last Tuesday has a fresh sight picture, a fresh feel for the flare, a fresh sense of the crosswind correction. A pilot who last flew 3 months ago might be fine, or they might be surprised by how much their mental picture of the approach has drifted. The currency requirement is a floor, not a ceiling. Meeting it means you are legally allowed to fly. It does not mean you are optimally prepared. Currency and proficiency are different things. I've seen pilots who were perfectly current and remarkably rusty. I've seen pilots who let currency lapse for 1 day and were sharper than they'd been in months because they had just spent a week flying in Canada where the clock didn't reset their American currency. The legal requirement is the minimum standard. What actually keeps you and your passengers safe is a higher standard that you have to set for yourself. What does this mean practically? If you've been current but inactive, do a practice flight before you load up the family. Go up with a CFI if you haven't flown in a couple of months. Shoot a few approaches in a training device before you go IFR on a real weather day. Use the currency requirements as a trigger to honestly check in with yourself, not as a box to check, and then stop thinking about. The Airman certification standards for the private pilot certificate don't test 6157 as a standalone task, but the knowledge test absolutely will, and the practical implications follow you for the rest of your flying career. When an examiner asks about currency on the oral, the right answer isn't just reciting the numbers back. It's connecting those numbers to the judgment required to know when you're actually ready to take responsibility for other people's lives. Let me leave you with a quick summary you can actually carry with you. 3 takeoffs and landings in the preceding 90 days to carry passengers. Same category, class, and type. 3 full stop landings at night in the preceding 90 days to carry passengers at night. 3 full stop landings to carry passengers in a tailwheel airplane. 6 instrument approaches, plus holding, plus course tracking in the preceding 6 months for instrument flight. An instrument proficiency check can restore instrument currency within 12 months of your last qualifying experience. Know those numbers. But more than that, know why they exist. Source information for this segment comes from Federal Aviation Regulation 6157 and the FAA Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge. More at RadioHangar.com. Count the days carefully out there.